Psalm 34 says, glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Church, this morning, let's shake off the web of lies the enemy has been shooting at us. And let's glorify his name because he alone is worthy. Come on. We sing. There were walls between us. By the cross you came and broke them down. You broke them down. There were chains around us. By your grace we are no longer bound. No longer bound. You call me out of the grave. You call me into the light. You call my name and then my heart came alive. Come on, sing it out. Your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Darkness shaking, all the dead are coming back to life. I'm back to life. Hear the song awakening, all creation singing, we're alive. Cause you're alive. You call me out of the grave, you call me into the light. You call my name and then my heart came alive. Come on! Your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens. Your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Oh, whatever love we've got, death can't hold us down. We shout it out. We're alive, cause you're alive. And what a love we've got, death can't hold us down. We shout it out. Come on. What a love we found, that can hold us down. We shout it out, we're alive, cause you're alive. Your love is greater, your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater, your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater, your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater, your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens.
Come on, let's sing together.
When darkness tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow tries to steal the joy I own, when brokenness and pain is all I know, oh, I won't be shaken. I won't be shaken.
Come on, lift your voice today. We say,
'cause my fear doesn't stand a chance.
Stand in your love.
My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. No longer has a place to hide, for I am not a captive to the lies. I'm not afraid to leave my past behind. Oh, I won't be shaken. I won't be shaken.
Come on, sing it out.
'Cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love.
We say there's power.
There's power that can break off every chain.
Come on, declare it today.
There's power that can empty out a grave.
Hallelujah.
There's resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name. Power in your...
Come on, sing it again. There's power.
There's power.
My firm foundation.
My firm foundation.
Hold that into your
that you are good, that your plans are for us and for your glory. Jesus, I just ask right now, I'm just sensing that so many people in this room are walking through the middle of a storm. And I just ask right now, Lord, that you would just give them a renewed hope, a renewed peace, a renewed strength for today. And that every day this week, Lord, that they would be able to rely on that strength, because you never fail us, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We just worship you again in this place. Amen. Well, church, thank you so much for worshiping with us. Go ahead and take your seats. And as you do, take a look at the screens.
Welcome to Northwoods. We are so glad you decided to join us for week 3 of At the Movies. It's going to be a great day today. Hey, if you are here for the very first time, we would love for you to text the word new to the number on your screen. One of our pastors would love to reach out to you and connect with you and just help this big church feel a little bit smaller and more personal. And for those of you who do make this your regular church home, we would love to invite you to pull out your phone, open up the Northwoods app, and fill out the connection card. This connection card was designed by our team to be a really useful tool for you to be able to get information on the events and opportunities that interest you. So everything I'm sharing today is going to be there in the connection card. It's also a great way for you to be able to share prayer requests with our team and just let us know that you're attending this weekend. We are also so grateful for your continued faithful giving. You know, giving is really an extension of our worship. And what does this mean? Worship is about making choices every day to put God first in everything. And so we practice giving of tithes and offerings here at Northwoods as a way to worship the Lord by putting Him first in our finances. So we have a variety of ways that you can give. Check out our website, northwoods.church/give, to find out what those opportunities are for giving. We hope to invite you back on October 2nd. We would love for you to join us on what is going to be a vision casting message from Pastor John, our senior pastor. He is going to be talking to us about why Northwoods believes in planting churches. It's going to be an exciting message. You do not want to miss it. October 2nd, make sure that you're here for that. Did you know that God cares deeply about your needs? And we have an amazing prayer team here at Northwoods who would love to pray with you. You can go online to our website and check out our prayer appointments. These are private 1-hour appointments where you can come in and meet with members of our prayer team who would love to encourage you and take your needs before the Lord. So be sure to take advantage of that ministry. Well, this morning, our feature presentation is Spider-Man No Way Home. So right now, we invite you to sit back, relax, grab that popcorn. It's going to be a great morning.
Welcome to At the Movies at Northwoods. It's Spider-Man Sunday. Check out the trailer.
She told me that with great power comes great responsibility. Uncle Ben said it.
Let's do this.
I got it. Wait your turn.
Hello?
Cop check. Hello.
Gross.
Okay, Spider-Man. I don't want to brag, but I will. I was in the Avengers.
The Avengers?
Yeah.
That's great.
Thank you.
What is that?
Wait, you don't have the Avengers?
Is that a band? Are you in a band?
Woo! My gosh. That was fun. I tell you what, a harness will wake you up in the morning. Wow. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Northwoods. Like you saw today, we're looking at Spider-Man No Way Home. Are you guys glad to be here this morning? Huh? We're glad you're joining us online. This is, look, if you guys know me, I love the fact that I get to preach this message because I love superheroes, okay? I was just telling someone in the hallway on the way up here for this first service, I said, look, second grade, they had an assignment where you had to draw what you wanted to be when you grow up, and then you had to tell the whole class about it. And naturally, I drew Batman, and I told the entire class, I said, I'm going to be Batman when I grow up. And I was dead serious. I was not kidding. It wasn't a joke. I was serious. I'm going to be Batman. I was the younger brother running around at John's high school basketball games in my cape and mask. So yes, when the team forced me to dress up as Spider-Man for this series, well, I enjoyed it a little more than I probably should have. I think we got a picture, actually, if you haven't seen it. Yep. Oh my goodness. I absolutely loved it. You can imagine when John asked me to preach this message for this series, I was like, let's do it, man. I'm all in. So, like I said, today is Spider-Man No Way Home. That's the movie we're going to look at today. And there's a lot of details in the storyline of this movie that it can be a little easy to get lost if you haven't seen it yet. So I'm going to do my best to try and catch you up to speed on what is happening. First, you need to know that this particular Spider-Man movie, it's the third movie in a trilogy, okay? And as the movie starts, Spider-Man's secret identity has been revealed to the entire world. Now, that's not a good thing for superheroes, all right? He's in a bad place. And in addition to that, the public is divided over whether he's good or bad. With all this happening for the first time, Spider-Man begins to lose the freedom to kind of separate his normal life as Peter Parker from his superhero life as Spider-Man. And so in desperation to try and fix things, Peter asks for help from another superhero named Doctor Strange. But instead of solving the problem and making things better, it actually makes the situation worse. Turns out that Doctor Strange's strange powers begin to pull into their world other villains from alternate realities. Okay, if you didn't know, we're talking about a comic book movie. Now you do. Other villains are coming from other realities, other worlds. And so as the stakes get higher, the danger escalates, the villains multiply, we see that Spider-Man is forced to grow up. You see, Spider-Man's actually a high schooler in these movies. He's quite young. And across these movies, we've seen that he has a lot to learn. And it's not until this third movie that he finally has to begin to grapple with the weighty issues of being a hero. It hasn't yet cost him something. And so this movie is really Spider-Man's coming of age. It's really a story of him coming into maturity. And that is where the biblical truths hidden in this movie begin to surface. Spider-Man's own story of maturity actually teaches you and I key truths about how God matures us. But just so we're all clear, I want to really quick touch on a passage in Ephesians 4. I want to make sure we're all on the same page that maturity really matters in the kingdom. It's, of course, it's a biblical command for us to pursue maturity, go on into maturity. But Ephesians 4 is very, very significant. So I want to just read it real quick. There's about six verses here, but hang with me and just pay attention to how many times this idea of maturity, of growing up, comes up in these verses. So it says, Christ gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until
we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. So Paul has just revealed to us one of God's main and primary purposes in this age, in your life, in my life. One of the Lord's primary focuses, His primary priority is to see us become fully mature, fully like Jesus Christ. And so let's just be clear. Jesus is absolutely committed to seeing that His church grows up into maturity. He's not okay with the church being stagnant, being spiritual infants. No, He wants to see every believer in the church as a whole become like Him in every respect. So don't be fooled. Don't be deceived. We're not just kind of hanging out here, you know, enjoying some blessings and going to a church service until Jesus comes back. The Lord is absolutely committed to seeing that each one of us grows up into maturity. And so there's a divine imperative on every believer to mature into the fullness of Christ. Now, besides that, you and I know, even in the natural, maturity is important. You can't live life without maturity, okay? This is why education for our young kids is so important. This is why the formation of young children is so important, because if they're not growing into maturity and the day comes that they're supposed to be released into the world on their own, they're not going to be able to handle it. Right? I mean, we know this. This is how important maturity is. And what's true in the natural is true in the supernatural as well. That the church will never be able to handle the life that God has called us to live and will never walk in the fullness of our God-given call and purpose unless we move on into maturity. We can't be having a failure to launch. Now, this is the same dilemma that our hero, Spider-Man, finds himself in. He discovers that he cannot be Spider-Man. He cannot be the hero he's supposed to be unless he matures. And that's kind of the question that we're going to answer today. Again, it's how does God mature us? That's what we see in Spider-Man's story. And we're going to focus on one particular text that helps answer that question. Okay? Now, I know, we're going to get to the movie. We're going to get to the movie. Okay? But if you got your Bibles, go to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. And I'm going to read verse 8 and 9 for us, all right? And this is speaking about Jesus. So verse 8 says, although he, okay, speaking of Jesus, was a son, meaning although Jesus was the Son of God, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Now, I believe that when we look at this text, we actually see two required ingredients for our maturity. And yes, I mean it, that these are, like, God requires these ingredients for us to become mature. We're not going to become mature apart from these two ingredients. And as I'll try to repeat today again and again, these are not just ingredients that help make us mature, they're also marks of those who are already mature. The first ingredient we find here in this passage in the life of Jesus is suffering. suffering. Now, this verse in Hebrews says that Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered. Remember, Jesus fully God, and yet at the same time, he became fully man. So as fully God, it's not like there was ever a time that he was disobedient to the Father. You know, Jesus didn't have to learn like how you and I learn. He didn't learn by trial and error. He lived a sinless life. But as a man, Jesus had to experience walking that obedience out over the course of his life. And he had to experience walking out obedience in the midst of suffering. You see, obedience is really, that's another mark of those who are mature. And so this is Jesus walking out maturity as he walks out obedience to the Father. But what I want you to see in that passage is it had to come through his pain and his suffering. The Son of God himself had to go through suffering to experience full maturity. And so must we. If he needed it, how much more do we? Now again, this is what we see in Spider-Man's story. So I'm going to set up our first clip for us here. Remember that I said Spider-Man's dealing with all these other villains from alternate realities, other worlds. And he discovers that if he just kind of gets rid of them, just sends them back to their worlds, they're actually all going to die. And so, challenged by his Aunt May, which is his only family, he makes the choice, the harder choice, to try and save them. And as villains will do, they turn on him. And so in this clip that we're about to see, Spider-Man has just finished a major battle against multiple different villains, and he doesn't yet know, he discovers right in the middle of this clip, that the Green Goblin, he's the main antagonist, he has delivered what becomes a fatal blow to Peter's only family, Aunt May. It's one of Spider-Man's greatest moments of suffering, and there's something for us to learn in it. So let's watch this first clip.
This is all my fault, me.
I should have just listened to Strange and let him send
you
him
did
back.
The right thing. They would have been killed. You did the right thing.
It's not my responsibility, me.
No, Peter, you listen to me. You have a gift. You have power. And with great power, there must also come great responsibility.
No.
Just catch your head.
What happened? Are you okay?
Okay.
Yeah, you're okay. What happened?
Just have a second. Just catch my breath.
Okay, well, you catch your breath. I'm right here. We're gonna take our time. You catch your breath, and then we'll take you to a doctor, okay?
Somebody help, I need an ambulance. Please, somebody.
What happened?
Nothing happened. You're okay.
I just I
catch my breath. I'm right here. We're okay. It's just me and you. Me?
Will you look at me, May, please?
Tragedy. What else can I call it? What more need be said? The damage, the destruction. You saw it with your own eyes. When will people wake up and realize that everywhere Spider-Man goes, chaos and calamity ensue? Everything Spider-Man touches comes to ruin. And we, the innocents, are left to pick up the pieces. J. Jonah Jameson reporting. Good night, and God help us all.
It's a hard clip to watch. Again, Spider-Man has not dealt with that kind of pain and suffering until now. He chose to make the right choice. He did the right thing. And yet, he's the one who ended up suffering for it. That ever happened to you? He loses his only family, and again, as you saw, the public blames Spider-Man for the wreckage, when all along he was just trying to do the right thing. Now, we're going to go right to another clip, but what I want you to notice in that one, and I'm going to expand upon this. I want you to notice that in the midst of his suffering and in the midst of his pain, there is this subtle invitation for him to respond to his pain in a redemptive way. It's that classic Spider-Man line that Aunt May says, with great power comes great responsibility. And this is part of how God works through suffering to mature us. It's not that it's just suffering on its own. No, the Lord actually says to us, if you will respond in the midst of your pain and suffering rightly, if you'll come to me with it, if you'll not avoid it, if you'll not minimize it or deny it, if you'll talk to me about your pain, I can redeem it. So again, more on that in just a little bit. I want us to watch this next clip, and this is a little longer clip. It's a little over 4 minutes, but it's an important clip because after Spider-Man loses Aunt May, he doesn't respond well to his pain. His pain actually drives him into a very dark place. But we find out in this clip, it's not just villains from other worlds. It's also, as you saw in the trailer, previous Spider-Mans that we know and love who have come into this current reality. So again, it's a longer clip, but I want you to watch as the other Spider-Mans actually call Peter up and out of his suffering to respond to it in a redemptive way. Let's watch the clip.
Sorry. About May?
Yeah. Sorry. I got some understanding of what it
is. No, please don't tell me that you know what I'm going through.
Okay.
She's gone. It's all my fault. She died for nothing. So I'm gonna do what I should have done in the first place.
Peter.
Please, don't. You don't belong here. Either of you. So I'm sending you home. Those other guys are from your worlds, right? So you deal with it. If they die, if you kill them, that's on you. It's not my problem. I don't care anymore. I'm done.
My Uncle Ben was killed. It was my fault.
I lost Gwen. She was my MJ. I couldn't save her. I'm never gonna be able to forgive myself for that. But I carried on, tried to keep going, try to keep being that friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, because I know that's what she would have wanted, but at some point I stopped pulling my punches. I got rageful. I got bitter. I just don't want you to end up like me.
The night Ben died, I hunted down the man who I thought did it. I wanted him dead. I got what I wanted. It didn't make it better. It took me a long time to learn to get through that darkness.
I want to kill him. I want to tear him apart. I can still hear her voice in my head. Even after she was hurt, she said to me that we did the right thing. She told me that with great power
comes great responsibility.
Wait, what? How do you know that?
Uncle Ben said it.
The day he died. Maybe she didn't die for nothing, Peter.
Maybe she didn't die for nothing. In other words, maybe, Peter, your pain doesn't have to be wasted. Maybe he can respond to his pain in a way that helps bring him into maturity, that's redemptive, that's healing for him. And this is what I want to hit home with us right now, is that some of you are here today and you're going through suffering. You're going through pain in your life right now. And hear the subtle invitation of the Lord to you today to say, let's respond to it rightly. Talk to me about it. Don't avoid it. Don't stuff down the uncomfortable emotions around your pain and your suffering. No, let those things come to the surface. Begin to engage your pain and your suffering and talk to the Lord about it, because when you do, I'm telling you, you are going to find that there is healing and comfort and, yes, even joy on the other side of it. But it means that you have to respond to it now in a healthy way. It means you can't isolate. You can't just shut down. Step out of this family of faith that we have. Others of you, you've gone through pain and suffering in your past. Whether it be abuse, trauma, betrayal, sickness, whatever it is, loneliness, you've gone through that. So my question to you today is, what did you do with that? Did you ever talk to the Holy Spirit about that pain you were going through? Did you ever give yourself a chance to grieve it or to get angry at the injustice and evil that was done to you? Or did you just sweep it under the rug and say, we're just not going to talk about that? We have to respond to our pain and suffering rightly and in conversation with the Lord. On the other side of it, there is maturity and there is wholeness. But if we don't, then it's wasted. And the Lord does not want to waste anything in our lives. He wants to bring something out of it. So today, let your pain and your suffering drive you into the Lord's arms, into his presence, into his word, into his church, not away. I love how the, bless you. I love how the great Christian author C.S. Lewis said it. This is a phenomenal quote. He says, pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our consciences, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Now, he's not saying that your pain is simply from God to teach you a lesson. Please, whatever you do, don't give such a naive and simple answer to your pain and suffering. The point is, no matter the reason behind your pain, Jesus has much to say to you in the midst of it. And he is the one with healing balm who can mend the places where your heart is hurting. But that's only the first ingredient. The second ingredient required for our maturity is sacrifice. Church, this goes hand in hand with suffering. It's actually kind of, it's a suffering in and of itself. But I want you to look back at our passage, Hebrews 5. This second ingredient is not as obvious in the text, but it's implicitly there. So I want you to listen and look very closely. If you can pull up verse 8 again. Although he, Jesus, was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Now, the suffering in verse 8, it's primarily speaking of the cross. It's speaking of the greatest sacrifice given for the good of others the world has ever known. And that's what verse 9 talks about, that sacrifice was meant for the salvation of all who would obey him. So the cross was not, it wasn't just pain and suffering. It was actually the most dramatic, scandalous act of sacrifice for the good of others that history has ever seen. The one man who never did anything wrong chose to give up what was rightfully his and instead took upon himself the punishment that we deserved. For Jesus to live out the fullness of his God-given purpose assigned to him by the Father, it meant sacrifice. And again, it's the same for you and I. We can't get around it. The church will never be mature apart from learning to sacrifice for the good of others. So church, again, unless you willingly lay down those things that have more of your heart than he does, you will remain stunted in your spiritual walk. You can't get around this. So what is it that the Lord has asked you to sacrifice and you haven't yet given up? Some of you are here today and you know maybe the Lord is calling you to get out of that relationship you're in, but you're not willing to. No, I like that. And yet there's something in the back of your heart and mind that says, I know this isn't right. There's some of you here today that you may know that you've been stunted in your growth, stunted in your spiritual walk, and yet you're not willing to sacrifice some time, some energy, or some sleep to wake up and to get into the Bible for yourself and to get alone with Jesus. And I had this on my heart as well for today as we were praying last night. Fathers, some of you are here today and you know your marriage needs your attention. And you know your kids need your attention. And yet you're not willing to sacrifice or give up that personal hobby that consumes all your time over here and takes you away from your family. So again, what is it that the Lord has laid on your heart and he's saying, that's a good thing, but I want you to give it up. I'm asking you to sacrifice it. It's an absolute necessity for us, just as it was for Spider-Man. Though he had his suffering, his maturity required this other ingredient of sacrifice. Now remember, it was the Green Goblin that delivered the fatal blow to Aunt May. And so we get to the final battle in the movie, and Peter picks up the sharp edges of the Goblin's glider that he flies on. And he wants to use it to get his revenge. And we see in this clip, the more mature Spider-Man steps in to remind him of his responsibility to sacrifice the revenge that he wants, to lay it down for something greater. Let's watch this clip. Peter wanted his revenge. And with one look, he knows I have to give up what I want and I have to have compassion on my enemy. It's another step for him into maturity. But this is where Spider-Man's journey really comes to a climax. You see, from the beginning of the movie, all Peter has tried to do once everything went crazy, he tried to fix it all so that he could have everything he wanted just the way he wanted it. And finally, by the end of the movie, he realizes if he's going to do the right thing, if he's essentially going to save the world, in spite of his pain, in spite of all that his heart longs for, he must selflessly give it all up. He must sacrifice. And so we're going to see in this clip that the fabric of reality is shattering. And so the only way Spider-Man can undo the mess that he's made is to take responsibility for his choices and to give up what he loves and wants, all for the greater good of others. Let's watch this final clip.
What's happening?
They're here because of you.
What if everyone forgot who I was?
What?
They're coming here because of me, right? Because I'm Peter Parker? So cast a new spell. But this time, make everyone forget who Peter Parker is. Make everyone forget. Me.
No.
But it would work, right?
Yeah, it would work. But you gotta understand, that would mean that everyone who knows and loves you, we'd have no memory of you. It would be as though you never existed.
I know. Do it.
Man, better go and say your goodbyes. You don't have long.
Thank you, sir.
So long, kid.
Are you okay?
Yeah, we're okay.
We should go, right?
You're gonna forget who I am.
What?
Forget who you are? What are you talking about?
It's okay. I'm gonna come and find you, and I'll explain everything. I'll make you remember me. And I'll be like, none of this ever happened. Okay?
Okay, but what if that doesn't work? What if that doesn't work? What if we can't remember you? I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that.
I know, MJ, I know.
There's not something we can do. We can't come up with like a plan or something. You know, there's always something we can do.
There's nothing we can do. But it'll be okay.
Spider-Man tries to console those he loves. But the rest of the movie, Spider-Man he's never reunited with his friends. By the end of the movie, Spider-Man has lost all of his family, all of his friends, and all the other superheroes that once knew him because of the sacrifice he had to make. He had to sacrifice it all for the greater good of others. Now, does that sound like anyone that we know? Church, Jesus Christ is the real hero of the story of history. He is the one who gave it all up for us, for you, for your good. And now that same man of sorrows, that same man who was familiar with grief and suffering, he calls each and every single one of us to take up our cross and to follow him. Church, the hour truly is urgent. It's urgent. I felt that on my heart last night as I was praying. But the Lord wants to give us a sense of urgency that it's not time to play religious games. And we can't sit on the sidelines. That now is a time for the church to grow into maturity. It must start now. And it must start with you and with me. that we can no longer be infants and we can no longer be okay with staying where we are. That we must press in and press ahead, respond to our pain and suffering in a godly way, and be willing to sacrifice whatever the Lord asks of us. I truly believe these ingredients are absolutely necessary for the church in the days ahead. So here's what I want us to do. If you guys can stand, we're going to close here. And I know you're probably thinking of like packing up your stuff and getting ready to leave. No, just wait for a second, okay? Just wait. Just wait. I want you all to just close your eyes and just like between you and the Lord, just right now in this moment. You're not interacting with anyone else but Him. I want you to ask the Lord, say, Holy Spirit, what is it that you are saying to me through this message? Ask Him. In the quietness of this moment, what is He asking of you? How is He applying this to you? Again, maybe some of you go, I know the Lord wants me to talk about what happened in my past. You spent years in silence of the pain you went through in your childhood or in your past, and you never talked to anyone about it. And the Lord's saying today, it's time to bring it into the light. Maybe you're here and you say, you know what? I know that one thing the Lord wants me to give up. I know that one next step of sacrifice. So, Father, today I'm asking in the name of Jesus, Lord, for us, Your people. Father, I pray for those that have, whether they're walking through suffering right now, whether they have walked through tremendous suffering. Lord, I pray that You'd release a grace on their hearts to begin to respond to it in a healthy and godly way. Lord, I pray that You'd bring other people around them who will support them. And I pray, Lord, for all those who are walking through suffering, all those who feel that pain in their heart today, Lord, I pray that that pain would drive them to the rock that is higher than themselves, would drive them to the only refuge, the only shelter, the only healer, and that they would find wholeness in Your arms. And Lord, I pray for those that know what You're calling them to give up and lay down. And so again, for those, Lord, I ask, give a grace today to say yes to You, whatever it is, Lord, whatever step You're asking us to take. Empower Your people to say yes. And Lord, I pray for this body together, all of us. Lord, I thank You that You are absolutely committed to seeing us become mature followers, to become whole and healed and free and strong and capable. And so, Father, I'm asking that You would do what has been in Your heart from eternity past to do, that You would grow us up into the fullness of the image of Jesus, that we might reflect Your Son to the world. We ask for that today, and we pray it in the mighty name of Jesus. Everyone said, amen. Amen. Church, thank you for being here. There's going to be prayer teams down front if you need prayer for anything. And remember, next Sunday, it's our last message for At the Movies. Hope to see you there. Bless you guys.